Man, such a true message in that song for sure. Amen. Go and turn over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11. Been looking at the book of Hebrews just a little bit in reference to faith, Hebrews 11, and just pointing out different individuals in this text that God calls attention to and says right there, that is faith. Amen. And very important. Without faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. And so faith is God-given. It's God-wrought. We know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as we hear God's word, and we believe it, we are willing to really receive it and believe it. We're not skeptical of it. We're not trying to cast a doubt on it. We're not trying to alter it. When we come to God's word, and we simply come to God's word because we want to know him, we want to know the truth, and we believe it as such. That's why when I talk to people about where they're at spiritually, a lot of times I'll ask, do you believe in God? Do you believe God exists? Do you believe the God of the Bible is who he says he is? Because if they don't, then they're not going to be able to get faith. Amen. They're not going to be able to get to that point. Now, I'll still bring to them the word of God and all that, but they need to accept the word of God that it is correct. It is right. It is true. And it doesn't need our help to be correct. Like, I don't have to be the one that determines what it says or has to tell you what it says. The Holy Spirit's been given to do that. So we trust God with his word. Amen. And so, amen. I was not on there. Sorry about that. He was like, hi there, Levi. Anyway. So the word of God is a standalone all on its own. It doesn't need us. God doesn't need us. He chooses to include us. And we have a huge part, amen, in people's salvation on this side. But it's still all God, amen. And so what faith is basically our being fully persuaded in God's word that it's true. It's right. It's infallible. It's not wrong at all. Amen. It's 100% correct. Amen. And as we come to God's word that way, then God says he grants us faith, which enables us to even believe it stronger. Amen. So as I come to God and I study God's word, I believe it like it is. But as I study it and I learn more about it, I believe that even more. Amen. And the more I walk with him, the more I believe him. So that when people come to me and they say, you know, this world's really millions and billions and trillions of years old, I can say, no, the Bible says that God created everything in six literal days, the seventh day he rested. And if you follow the genealogies of the book, it's really about 6,000 years old. You'll say, well, you know, science, I get what you're saying, but number one, science does not prove the world to be that old. And it's built on really a house of cards that falls. But at the end of the day, my faith is not in Einstein. My faith is not in some professor at school or in college. They're fallible men just like you and I. My faith is in God and the Word of God. Amen. It makes sense? And so as we approach God's Word that way, then what God does is he builds faith in us, which is a stronger trust that we have in him, that no matter what he says is right. Does that make sense? And so what we find in Hebrews chapter 11 is an account that there's a whole lot of people that approached God this way all throughout the ages, beginning way on early in Genesis, all throughout the Old Testament, yeah, even into the New. And what we have is we have a bunch of men and women and some children that just believed God. Amen. And even in Romans 4, it talks about Abraham. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. And that's the point, that if I just simply believe God, if I just trust him, if I stop trying to make excuse on why I can't follow his word, and if I just believe it and apply it to my life, he becomes, Hebrews 11:6, a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. Diligently. Not half-heartedly. Not, hey, when I get a minute. Not when it works out. Diligently seek him. That means it becomes a priority in my life. And if I'll do that, he'll reward me for it. Isn't that amazing? We'll say, what's reward mean? It means that he actually will give you things for that. He will bless your life. Amen. The faithful man, Proverbs 28, abounds with blessings. Amen? But you got to be faithful. All right. So a couple weeks ago, we've looked at a couple different things. We'll just jump last week. Last week, we looked at the faith of Isaac and Jacob. Amen? And that was pretty profound, the faith of Isaac and Jacob. It's actually recorded there in Hebrews 11, 20 and 21. It actually says in verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Then it goes on to the faith of Jacob. And we learn that faith doesn't always look the same on the surface. When we examine this passage and we look at what God specifically said was done by faith in Isaac, we look at that and we say, well, I don't really see it that way, because Isaac really didn't even want to bless Jacob like he blessed him. And he didn't even want to bless Esau like he blessed him. Rebekah had a plan. She brought Jacob in on that thing. It was based on deception, it seemed. And we find that Isaac actually blessed the wrong one, right? And then yet we find then God comes around and says, by faith, Isaac. Amen. By faith, Isaac. How in the world does this work out? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And so what you find is, as we examine this, we're going to find that as we do walk by faith, I believe Isaac understood who God was. And I believe Isaac was trying to follow in that faith of Abraham, his father. And Isaac was trying to do right with all these things. And it just so happened in this particular case that God did not include Isaac on the information needed so that Isaac would purposefully bless Jacob as the firstborn, though he wasn't. And so you say, well, why didn't he? I don't know. It might be that God knew that Isaac wasn't really for that. I don't know why, but God knows all these things. God works all things together for good to those that love God, those that are called according to his purpose. And his ways are higher than our ways. At times they're past finding out, but know this, that God has everything under control, amen. And sometimes he uses us and we don't even know we're being used. Sometimes he leads us to say something and we didn't even know it was God that was leading us to say it. Amen. Sometimes we choose a song to sing that night and we didn't even realize that God had a bigger plan in mind, because he had a whole bunch of other things that led along that same line. And it was just all done by God, and God puts that thing together. And then later on, he'll say, by faith, this person did this. Amen. And this is just how it works. This is what we see here with Isaac. And if that messes with your theology, amen, just keep studying Hebrews 11, and it'll mess with you a little bit more. Amen. We also find in the same text that it's in reference to Jacob, it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. In this particular case, Jacob actually blessed the secondborn as the firstborn knowingly. Jacob knew it. God, for whatever reason, clued Jacob in on this. And so when he's getting ready to die there, we find that he called for Joseph, his two sons, and he then blessed the secondborn as the firstborn. Joseph got upset about it, and Jacob said, nope, this is the way it's going to be. Joseph accepted it. And in Hebrews 11, it says he did it by faith, which means he knew. Which is interesting, because here we have two situations. Isaac did it, but didn't know. Jacob did it, he did know. And both of them, God said, they did it by faith. Fascinating. Don't you love studying the Bible? It so challenges us on our understanding of things. Well, I learned it in Bible school. I don't think you learned that. I didn't learn that in Bible school. Anybody here, whether you taught that in Bible school right there about faith? Those are passages people skip over that are teaching on faith, because they're really difficult passages to make sense of in reference to this is how it always works. But you know what? With God, things don't always work the same way. Amen? God's word is always right. God's word is always true. But there are depths to doctrines that we don't even fully understand yet. But you hang out with God long enough, it'll help you to understand just a little bit more day by day. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 now, and we'll begin in verse number 11. Before I do that, I don't know if y'all read the Baptist Bread, but I would highly encourage it. Just a short little devotional every day. It always gives a good thought. But on March 19th, it was a Wednesday, would have been last Wednesday, there was one in here entitled, With Thy Might. And I love this. It was Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Love that passage of scripture in Ecclesiastes 9:10. But in the second part of this particular devotional, he actually gives a quote from Jim Elliot, a missionary. He says this, I'll just read the part of the paragraph. He says, I wish I had time and space to develop that, but I don't. So I will leave you with this thought from Jim Elliot, missionary to the Yucca Indians. He says, here is a quote you don't often hear that was made by Jim around when he was around the age of 23. This is what this missionary said. By the way, if you notice his lifespan, Jim Elliot, 1927 to 1956. So it looks like he died when he was 29. All right. This was a quote he made when he was 23. Wherever you are, be all there. Live life to the hilt in every situation you believe to be the will of God. And he goes on to say, you are, this is the guy on the devotion said, are you all there in your prayer life? Bible reading, church attendance, prayer meeting, witnessing, and on goes the list of living to the hilt. Shame on us for letting the world live their licentious lives to their hilt, and God's people do nothing with gusto while basking in the shade. He's just saying, listen, you need to find out what God's will is, and you do it, and you live it to the hilt. How do we do that? By faith. Say, well, I'm just not sure. Then get sure. We say, how do you get sure? Romans 12, 1 and 2, we've been talking about that. Presenting our body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We just yield ourselves before God. And we say something like this, God, I don't care what my life's going to look like. I don't care what you lead me to do. I don't care where you lead me to go. I don't, none of that. It's all on the table. I just want to know your will, and I just want to follow you every day of my life. God, you take all my fears. You take all my concerns. You take everything I know, everything I think I know. You take all of that, and whatever you want me to do, however you want me to live, you just let me know, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve you with all my days. I'm going to follow you with my whole heart. I want to put everything into it till Jesus comes or you take me home. I just want to love you and serve you until my breath is taken from me on this earth. Amen. And if you'll do that and honestly seek him and seek his word every day. Amen. Seek his word, seek his will, seek his ways, not by what you think, not by what you want to do. Don't live out your dreams, live out his dreams. And if you'll do that, you'll be able to do something like what Jim Elliot said, you could live life to the fullest, amen, to the hilt, as he said. Now, in Hebrews 11, verse number 11, by the way, your life, if all you do is live out your dreams, that's boring. You start living out God's dreams on earth, things get exciting. You choose. Well, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Luke, for amening me. That was really good. Amen in the thought. Praise God. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. Thank you, God, for your help. Thank you, God, for your leading us and guiding us, instructing us, God, leading us to passages like this that we're looking at tonight. And God, I pray that we would truly serve you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength and love you as such. And God, I pray that we would be excited about the life that you've given to us, that we wouldn't just be stuck in a rut, that we wouldn't just be biding our time until you take us home. God, that we would truly enjoy what you've given us to enjoy. God, your word says you've given us all things richly to enjoy. I pray we wouldn't be a complaining people, a murmuring people. God, I pray we wouldn't be a blaspheming people. But God, I pray that we would be a people that love you and that allow you to work mightily in and through our lives. If that's going to happen, it's going to be done by faith. Help us to learn something tonight in reference to Sarah and this faith that you said she had. Help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a fascinating passage of Scripture. You can turn back to Genesis, if you will. Genesis 12, the passage in Hebrews 11. I'll remind you a few times tonight said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. God might put us in a box, but we better not put God in a box. Amen. And God is powerful. He's wonderful. He does exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. If you want God to do great things in your life, then dream up big things, and God will exceed that for you. Amen. That's the way God works. God loves showing himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for people like Jacob. Jacob, he was a deceiver. You can say what you want about Jacob, but God sure didn't enjoy showing himself strong in Jacob's life. Do you know what Jacob had that Esau didn't have? A desire for the blessings of God. I still want the blessings of God. If you leave them lay around, I'm coming after them. Amen. I'm not kidding. If you get tired of your blessing, you just let me know. Amen. I'm fine. I'm fine picking that up for you. Amen. That's who Jacob was. Jacob was constantly he looked and said, man, I'm not the firstborn, but Esau doesn't really care about that thing. God, can I get it? God, and I think he bugged God about it. I think he probably bugged God for quite a many years. Amen. And lo and behold, Esau came in faint, and it was like God said to Jacob, here's your chance. And Jacob said, woo, yes, it's what I've been praying for. Amen. And he got it. Is that you? Is that you? Is that you looking for what God has to give, what God has to offer? Amen. Because that's exactly these people here in this Hebrews 11. This is the type of people that God points out. We're going to look at one of these nights. We're going to look at Rahab the harlot. Of all the people, a harlot is called out. Had faith. Isn't that amazing? You guys okay? Some of you look like you're scared to death right now. Amen. I'm glad for it. Amen. I like it. Amen. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look just a little bit here, because God said Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Why? Even though she was past age, because she judged him, meaning God, faithful, who had promised. In Genesis 12, 4, early on, as Abram here and Sarah would leave Ur of the Chaldees, it says, I want to point this out because it gives an age. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Say, why did God choose such an older guy? Well, I guess there wasn't any younger ones that actually believed God like Abraham did. Amen. It really doesn't matter your age. You have faith, God will take care of the age thing. Amen. God was able to use him in a miraculous way. And he would live well. Was it 150 something Abraham lived? What was it? I think it's 150 something. Amen. And by the way, in that day, that wasn't all that norm. I mean, it was really starting. I mean, Sarah died before she was 99. And so it was a little bit longer, but not quite that long. He lived quite a long time after this particular point. He was only middle-aged right here at 75. Amen. So in Genesis 12:4, they're departing Ur of the Chaldees. We'll go up through Haran and come down into Canaan. Now, Sarah was 9 years younger than Abram, and so at this point of the departing, Sarah would have been 66 years old as they started on their journey with the Lord, following the promises of God. Now, at this age, 66, even in this time frame, Sarah would have already been past the time of life when God first came to them in this particular text. And in this text of Genesis 12, you say, when did God promise them that there a nation would come from them? Well, I just read you Genesis 12, 4. If you look back two verses, in Genesis 12, 2, it says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. And it says, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Thy name great. What God is saying to Abraham is, you're going to have children that take your name. That's how it works, right? You have children, they take your name. And the man child would take the name of the mom and dad. And he said, that's what he's alluding to here in this text. You say, did Abraham pick up on that? Well, look over at Genesis 15. We know that Abraham thought about this much because we read in Genesis 15 what Abraham actually prayed to God, spoke to God in verse number 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So this Eleazar was a servant of his. And from the time that Genesis 12, he had been keeping this in his heart that wow, God says he's going to, through my family, bless all the nations of the earth. He had that there, and he's figuring out that Sarah, his wife, is barren, not able to bear children. And so now by Genesis 15, he's actually beginning to remind God here that you said this. This was a promise. And he's asking God, he's basically trying to figure it out. He's saying, were you saying you're going to bless me through my servants, like Eleazar? I mean, he's having children. Is that how you're going to fulfill this? So keep this in mind. Abraham believed God. There's at no point that Abraham didn't believe God. He heard God say something. He heard God give a promise, and Abraham keyed in on that thing and said, God, you said you were going to bring a nation out of me, my name. You said it. And so all along the way, Abram is looking for how God is going to do this. And so he says, is it going to be through Eleazar? And Abraham said in verse number 3, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. And so God further honed in, and Abraham believed God initially. Now God is giving him more details. And Abraham has an issue. His wife is barren, and yet God said, you're going to have a child. It's going to come from your own bowels. And men don't have babies. Amen. Let me say that again. I don't care what this generation's teaching, the falsities in school and all that. Men do not have babies. They don't have the plumbing for it. Amen. It's not there. It's not able. Amen. It takes a woman for that. Amen. And Abram's married to Sarah. And he says, a child is going to come forth from your bowels, from your loins. And that's what he was referring to. Amen. So now we're beginning to see the understanding that God wants for them to be developed in this. And it's apparent that God does not see a lack of faith in Abram. We find in this text that verse 6, he believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. And this is the issue. Sometimes we look at passages like Abraham and we think about how he tried so many things and his wife did as well to kind of bring about the promise. And we key in on what he tried to do to see it come to pass. And what we really should key in on is the fact that Abraham believed what God said. He went about it a little bit wrong for a while, and it cost him a little bit of time and things like that, but he still believed God. He believed what God said. Look at Genesis 16 and verse number 1. Now, all along this way, Abram and Sarah have been talking, and we don't see her mentioned a lot until right here now in verse number 1 of chapter 16 of Genesis. Now, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now, this is not a principle that we're going to apply across the board. Amen. You say, yeah, but what's going on here? What in the world? Listen, all I'm saying is they believed God. They're looking for any way for this to be fulfilled. They're seeking God. They're trying to live within the box that God has made for them by his word. And they came up with this. Sarah came up with it. Abraham bought into it. And they implemented Sarah's plan in this. Now, notice in verse number 3, it says, and Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. By the way, whose bowels did God say the child would come out of? Abram's. They developed a plan, and Abram was included. Does that make sense? I'm not saying right, wrong, or indifferent. All I'm saying is these are real people dealing with life, and they have promises from God, and they're looking for them to be fulfilled. Would to God we would believe God that much. And not key in on the parts of this you don't like. Does God ever make people uncomfortable in some of the things that God calls us to do? Does he ever? Yeah. By the way, if you're not willing to be made uncomfortable, you're not following God. You're just not. That's how God works. Amen. And so they're just trying to figure this thing out. And I'm thankful that we have a couple here that actually believed God. Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her handmaid, the Egyptian, in verse 3, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he's 85 now. Started out in 75, went up through Haran, came down to Canaan. It's 10 years later. He's 85 now. 10 years, a long time. And Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, Sarah saw Hagar had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Can I say, for a wife to be willing to do this, and she really believed in God's promise, didn't she? Because I don't know very many women that would have been willing to do that, right? And again, key in on that side if you want and miss the point. I just want to key in on how much they believed God's word. Can I say, if God's going to reward you because of your faith, you're going to have to follow the faith of those he pointed out in Hebrews 11 and said, this is the faith I'm talking about. In Hebrews 6, when he said he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, Abraham and Sarah were examples of what he meant by that. It's in the text. Hebrews 11, 6. And then he starts laying out those that he said, that's what I'm talking about. Are we okay? Okay, good. Verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Then Sarah dealt hardly with her. She fled from her face. Now look down at verse number 16. Genesis 16, 16. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So, math. 85, when all this scheme was transpired, the birthing process, same today as it was then, about a year. And we find now he's 86 years old when Ishmael is born. Look at chapter 17 now, verse number 1. 86, Genesis 17, 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 99 now. So 86 to 99. 13 years transpires. By the text, God was silent for 13 years. Abram and Sarah thought, well, I guess this was it. It fulfills the promise. It's Ishmael's out of the loins of Abram. I don't like it. It's been difficult. Things have gotten really hard and strange around here. But this must have been what God was talking about. They were totally dismissed to this. They believed this to be it. But when he was 99 years old, it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations shall have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. And it goes on about the circumcision, the sign of circumcision, about this everlasting covenant. And then jump down to verse number 15. And God said unto Abraham, verse number 15, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now, that was quite the surprise for Abraham now. Because all along this way, he was thinking through Ishmael. You say, are you sure about that? Well, look at verse number 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. So 13 years, Abram thought, this is it. That's what it is. God hasn't spoke to me anymore. That's how it's being fulfilled. At any point did he stop believing in what God said would happen? Absolutely not. He had all the time believed in the word before he even left Ur of the Chaldees. Genesis 12, he believed the word of God. Did he struggle a little bit on how it would be performed? Absolutely. Did he go and do some things he shouldn't have done? Absolutely. But did he ever not believe God's promise? Absolutely not. He always believed God's promise. So he told God, God, yeah, what you just said, I don't get all that, but I know this. Bless Ishmael. Verse 19. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live forever. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off from talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Whew. Abraham had a lot to process after that right there. He thought it was already in place. He thought it was all fulfilled. Not at one point did he ever stop believing God's promise, but he thought it was already being fulfilled through Ishmael. And now God was so direct. He has all the details now. The covenant's not going to be directly through Ishmael. He will bless him. That's not the covenant. The covenant's going to be through a child that's going to come through Sarah. And that child's name's going to be Isaac. And of course, that means laughter. And he had to leave there, even though he was going to be 100 years old at that point. And his wife, 90, 91, he had to leave there and he had a choice to make. Will I continue to believe God, or will I dismiss this thing? And what Abraham decided to do was, I am going to believe God. Say, but it was impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. That's the point. With men, impossible. But with God, not impossible. Look at Genesis 18, verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, a year later, of course. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, he says, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And he said, so do as thou hast said. And Abram hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abram ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to the young men and hastened to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them and stood by them under the tree. They did eat. You see, Abraham's excited. Do you know why Abraham's excited? Because God gave him a promise. Because God came to him and gave him details about what would happen. And Abram didn't dismiss it. He got excited about what God was doing. Can I say, it's good when we as God's people get excited about what God is doing. We get excited about the precious promises of God upon our lives. And we stop looking at how things are bad and how things can't get better. And how things, you know, I'm getting old and nothing's going to happen anymore and all this. I'm just going to die and I'm going to be unfulfilled, all these things. And we start just trusting God and we start just relying upon God and we start putting all of our faith in God and we stop looking at our own circumstances. We stop looking at our own life and we stop looking about how impossible things are and we start looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we let God speak to our hearts, and we let God encourage us, and we let God give us hope again. Oh, that God's people would walk again with hope, and we wouldn't just bide our time until we find ourselves in the grave, but we would be excited about God. We'd be excited about what God's doing once again. Oh, that God's people would get excited. We could actually operate like Abraham is here. He looks afar off. He knows it's God. He knows what this is. He knows who that is. And he runs and he fetches that calf and he gets Sarah involved and he just starts getting excited about God and entertaining God for a little bit of time right here in the plains of Mamre. In verse 8, as he took butter and milk and got that thing all ready and dressed, verse number 9 says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he says, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, surely, or shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Wow, isn't that exciting? I sometimes view the laugh of Sarah in this text kind of not a laugh of disbelief, but a laugh of, really, Lord, now? I mean, could have been earlier, but, you know, that would have been okay. Like a laugh, like just one of those laughs of, I'm happy, but I just don't see it. But I do see it because God's just that laugh, a nervous laughter, if you will. And yet we find after all of that, by the way, in reading all of that, as we understand faith, did we pick up a lot of faith in Sarah? Did we pick up a lot of faith in how they operated? Well, again, if you focus in on the fact that they believed the promise, you'll find it. If you focus in on all the things they tried to do to work that out for God, you might miss it. Because we typically put a high standard on ourselves in walking by faith. Let me ask you this question. How many here know exactly what God's will is for your life every moment of the day concerning everything you say, everything you eat, every person you talk to, every place you go, everything you occupy your mind and your thoughts with? Does anybody here know 100% all the time that everything you do is absolutely exactly what God wants you to do? Anybody want to raise their hand to that one and say, that's me? We don't, do we? Do you know that walking by faith doesn't demand that? Do you see that? The Bible says Sarah walked by faith. Through faith. Abraham, by faith. Jacob, Isaac, these are all people of faith. And God is showing us what that looks like. It's just being yielded to God. It's just being in tune with Him. It's what God gives you. Follow it. What God gives you, what the promises God gives you, follow them. Seek them with all of your heart. Amen. This is what God wants for us, so that God then can do the impossible in our lives. There's a lot of things we do day in and day out that's not impossible to do. You coming to church was not impossible. There's things that God has for us to do that are not impossible. But then there are a lot of things in our lives that are impossible that God wants to do through our lives. These are the things that faith will empower for these impossible things to happen. By the way, if you've been born again, if you've been saved, that was impossible. Only God can do that. You can't save yourself. You can't cleanse yourself from your sin. You can't rescue yourself from hell. You being a good person won't do it. You being better than your neighbor won't do it. You doing good deeds won't do it. There's not a prayer you can say that will do it. The Bible tells us how to be saved. It's by placing faith, our faith, the faith that God has given, completely in what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. That's how we get saved. We let God speak to us on something that is impossible. And it's impossible for us to be saved. How can I then be saved? Repent and believe the gospel. Stop living your life for you. Stop trying to be your own God. Stop trying to do things that yield a spiritual result concerning salvation. And just believe the gospel. Believe what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He did all of that for you. And if you'll just simply believe Him, that what He did, He's able to save you through. And you call upon Him to be your personal Lord and Savior. If you trust Him with all of your heart and you turn from every other way to be saved and completely place your faith in Him, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Impossible, but yet possible by faith. You see, preaching. Men can get up and orate, but only by the power of God can God take control of a human being who's been called to preach and preach His truths through him. It takes the Spirit of God for that. It's impossible. It's not something you learn in Bible college. It's not something you learn by reading the newspaper, amen. It's not something you even learn just by studying. You learn as you yield to the Spirit of God and you say, God, I am willing. I'm willing to be a mouthpiece for you. And if you will, by your Spirit, speak through me, I will let you. I will not hinder you. I know you've called me. I'm for it. God, here I am. If you use me, I'm usable. And God takes control of that vessel. And God does something wonderful in that vessel. These things that God can only do. This is what we do by faith. Noah building an ark. That was impossible in that day. Surely impossible. God had to give him all the details, all the plans, all the lumber, all the everything. God had to supply all of that for he and his family for it to be accomplished. All the know-how. By the way, building the tabernacle that Israel used in the wilderness, to be able to How many here right now, if God told you to go build something and then overlay it in gold, how many of you could go overlay something in gold? Neither could they. For God to accomplish that, he read the Bible. He gave that knowledge to people that were willing to be given that knowledge. And then they instantly now had the ability to do those things. How'd they do it? By faith. That's what this is all about. You and I are not able, but God will do amazing things through us when we just believe him, just believe his promises, are willing to be uncomfortable, and are willing just to let God work through us. If we'll look unto Jesus in this way, he will do amazing things through us, but we got to seek him diligently. That's what Sarah really is an example of in this text. Abraham and Sarah believed that God would make of them a great nation. They struggled on how that would happen, but ultimately God worked out the details why they believed. They believed, and then ultimately they received. Can I say that God understands our humanity, and he knows. He's all points as tempted like as we are. He's felt the infirmities of our flesh. He knows that we're who we are. Sarah believed in heart, and God counted that unto her for righteousness as well. Amen. The funny thing about this text is really, I say funny because Isaac laughter, is that it seems like God really enjoyed this whole process. You read through all of this, you find that God enjoyed it. Let me ask this. How many here want God to enjoy watching you live? I want God to get a kick out of me. Does that make sense? I want God, when he looks down at my life, to smile. Him to say something like this. Wow, you're even willing to do that. Whew. Amen. Does God get that from you? Or are you so uptight and stuck in your rut, your little world, that you don't even let God enjoy your life? That's okay. He can have fun watching mine. And you know who he's going to work in? The one that he has fun watching. And that's what I see here with Abram, who became Abraham, and Sarai, who became Sarah. Because they were willing, man, God had a lot of fun with them. And can I say, they also got to enjoy a lot from God's perspective of how he blessed them because of it. Amen. I encourage you, live by faith like the examples God gives us. You might just start enjoying life again. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. God, we get so serious about so many things. We get so bent out of shape, and we get so frustrated and so fearful, and we're just so concerned about everything. And God, we've lost the ability to sit back and enjoy watching you work. God, from tonight, help us, Lord, to see that life is enjoyable when you're a part of our lives. Life is fun when you give us promises and we just believe you. And then we get to watch you bring it to pass. We get to enjoy watching it and be a participant. And we get to know that you enjoy watching us in our participation of it too. That's what I see here with Abram and Sarah. That's what I see with the fulfilled promise here. I believe, Lord, by your sovereignty, the name of Isaac being laughter just testifies of how much enjoyment you got from watching this couple try to figure out on their own how they might fulfill your promises. And at the end, it was you who did it, not them. God, thank you. Help us, Lord, to have learned something from tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's bow our eyes closed just for a moment. The pianist is going to play.